It's 9:06. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today. Kathleen will be back next week. Well, it may not completely look like winter yet or even feel like it in quite a bit of the state of Wisconsin, but it is winter. And, well, winter, it means a different kind of tourism in the Badger State. It wasn't that many years ago. Well, actually, it was a long time ago, let's be honest. When wintertime meant just trying to survive until spring, but winter tourism has really exploded. We're going to talk about it this morning in this hour. And to join us and help us with this discussion, talk about tourism in Wisconsin, we have the Secretary of Tourism for the state of Wisconsin, Stephanie Klett, joining us. Good morning, Secretary Klett. Thank you for being with me today.
Good morning, John. Nice to be here.
Well, of course, you're no stranger to the media. You you spent 17 years promoting the state of Wisconsin all over the place, so you've been everywhere in Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting because I hosted Discover Wisconsin for just shy of 18 years and was Miss Wisconsin before that. So I logged over a million miles and did travel to all 72 counties. But even after doing that and really traveling 200 to 300 days a year, there will still be some spot I've never heard of, and it'll drive me crazy that I don't know it. Doesn't it make you mad when you find out about some town you've never heard of and you're like, I should have known that?
Well, you know, I've lived in Wisconsin, well, let's not go into how many years it is, but a long time, and there's still places here that I would love to see. And in fact, my wife and I often talk about one of our retirement plans is to do a state tour and make a list of all the spots we want to go to and then just go there. But I grew up in Hayward in the early 60s.
And, beautiful.
Well, Hayward, you know, is a tourist area. That part of northern Wisconsin has always been had a big tourism thing. But before snowmobiles came along and before the popularity of things like cross-country skiing and snowshoeing and things like that came along, really, I mean, the whole place buttoned up after Labor Day. And you hoped that you had made enough money in the summer to get by until Memorial Day.
You know, you make a great point with that. And it really was at one time. Summer was the destination. People summered. That's what they did. And then as things evolved, fall, of course, is such a beautiful season, and summer turned into fall. And then winter made some changes for many reasons. One, I think people, particularly in northeast part of the country and the Midwest, said, if we're going to have these winters and they're going to be so brutal, what can we do to start really enjoying them? How can we make travel easy? How can we make our life easier? And really with the invention in Saner, Wisconsin of the snowmobile, that changed everything. And with downhill ski areas and that turned into tubing areas for people who didn't want to ski, and then they added on snowboarding, you know, it really became a four-season destination.
So we know that tourism is a huge industry in Wisconsin. Let's put some numbers on it. What's tourism worth to the economy of Wisconsin?
Well, it's huge. 291,000 people have jobs, full-time equivalent jobs, because of tourism. It's a $12.3 billion industry annually. Those were the numbers this past year, and I tell you what, our numbers will be up when we get our 2011 numbers. It's been a banner year. And even with the delay in the snowmobile season right now, you know, this summer, we had kind of a rough June. It was terrible weather. But the July, August, September, really through October, November, far exceeded months in past years. So it more than made up for a slow June. So that's what we're hoping will happen for December of this year. But you had mentioned being from Hayward. Well, Sawyer County, when you think of this, here's Sawyer County. It's not a highly populated area. Tourism this past year was $136.3 million industry for them. It ranks them in the top 10 in the state of Wisconsin. You know, and so that's huge. It lets you know places like Wisconsin Dells, which has a population of 5,000, you know, they do over $1 billion in travel expenditures for tourism. So it's really important for not just the big cities in Wisconsin, but smaller areas as well.
There's, and I forget where I saw this number now. I was looking at so many different things to prepare for the program, and I should have written this one down. I was looking at a number of how many overnight stays there were in Wisconsin, and it was a staggering figure. But there are just a lot of people who come here and stay at least a night, and usually more than a night. And of course, you know, when you think about it, all the different kinds of jobs. You know, people think about, well, you know, it's somebody in a restaurant, or but when you talk about who takes care of you at the resort or the hotel or the campground, and where you buy your food, whether it's a grocery store or a restaurant, where you buy your supplies or whatever you do when you're here, even the stuff you buy in the shop where they sell all the souvenirs. You know, there are a lot of different kinds of jobs. It's not just one or two things.
Well, you are bringing up a lot of good points in the statements you just made. And I'll start with the first one, and that is the overnight stays. We know that 46% of all getaways in the Midwest are weekend getaways. And, you know, years ago, there was always the week vacation that people got in 2 weeks, and they'd book that cabin. And throughout the North Woods and parts of Wisconsin, that still happens. People book that week getaway. But the majority of people are taking a weekend getaway. And even more so than an economic issue, it's a time poverty issue. You know, 5 years ago, we passed up Japan as the hardest working industrialized nation in the world at 50 hours a week. And that was before the economic crisis and the worst depression, you know, since the Great Depression. And so people are really looking to vacation differently. They wait till the last minute to find that great deal. And the second point you made about, you know, when people go to an area, they've got to fuel up. They want to get some food. They want to get a snack. They want to buy a souvenir. If they're staying at a hotel, they're using the local water. They're using the local electricity and utilities. So it really has a far-reaching impact. In fact, Hayward will tell you, they were the Hayward Hospital, they were able to build a new wing of their hospital due to accidents that happened with people on vacation. You know, from fishing lures stuck in their finger to spraining an ankle, it has that much of an impact.
Okay, well, let's talk about winter, because that's the season we're in. And there are a lot of different things to do in Wisconsin. Of course, a lot of them are weather dependent. If we don't have a lot of snow on the ground, that impacts it somewhat. But even so, there are still a lot of things people do in the winter, and sometimes in spite of the winter, sometimes even maybe to make fun of the winter or to thumb our noses at it. You know, you're not going to get us. We're tougher than that, so we're going to cut a hole in the ice and jump in the water. I mean, people...
Okay, John, you're killing me, because I have to tell you what I get to do this Saturday night. And this is, again, Wisconsinites having fun and really having an ability to laugh at themselves a little bit. In Prairie du Chien, they are having their annual New Year's Eve dropping of the carp. And so they drop this huge carp, and every year they name the carp Lucky. And I said, you know, why do you name the carp Lucky? The poor carp, you know, has to come down six stories from a concrete boom, and hundreds of people kiss it because they claim kissing Lucky it brings you good luck for 2012. And they named the carp Lucky, by the way, because they said, we're lucky to be bringing in another year, if you're watching that carp fall. But to select Lucky the carp, they actually host a little carp pageant. And carp are not attractive fish. And so they find the prettiest carp, and the carp then is frozen. And for this big event, they put lipstick on Lucky the carp. They put a little carp crown on it. So this year they actually also have a carp queen and a carp king that are selected amongst the Prairie du Chien folks. So I will get to help with crowning the carp queen and king. And at midnight, that carp comes down from that concrete boom, and then everybody says the Pledge of Allegiance and sings Old Anxiety, and that's how they ring in the new year.
Kissing a carp. Now that's, you know,
sadly,
that's not
John, I've kissed worse.
That's I don't even want to know. Kissing a carp is not on my bucket list, but I wouldn't mind seeing that happen. I just would not necessarily want to do it myself.
Well, and John, it's great too, because when you get there, it happens on Saint Ferio Island in Prairie du Chien, which folks who are familiar with it know that that's where historic Villa Louis is, and that's a state historic site. home to what is believed to be Wisconsin's first millionaires, the Dousman family, which earned their money in the fur trade. And, of course, that's a big French area, and thus the name St. Ferriol. Anyway, so it's a beautiful area. But when you arrive, and people start arriving really around 10:30, the selection of the king and queen is around 11:30. They have live music and then the big drop. But it's great because Lucky is by this boom, and you can kiss the carp before the drop or after, but they have a spotlight on it the whole time. So it's like a rock star, just one big spotlight on the carp.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, and that's just one of the kind of goofy things that we do here in the state. Chrissy Pease, who produced this program this morning, wanted me to be sure to talk about the turkey bowling, the frozen turkey bowling that they do at the Jack Frost Fest in Spooner, and that's coming up. And that was one I had heard about, but I've never done that either.
Oh, yes. In fact, and another one to put on your list is in Plymouth, which is really just a charming town. And they have the Plymouth Arts Center, which is a beautiful facility. And that's what makes their annual event kind of funny, because the Plymouth Arts Center is so gorgeous and elegant. And this year they're doing their fifth annual New Year's Eve Big Cheese Drop. And it's sponsored by Sartori, and of course Sartori has some international, award-winning cheeses. But they dropped this massive—I mean, it's this huge chunk of cheese, all lit up with the year, the year on it that comes down. And they have hot cocoa, and it's in the Art Center Plaza, and it's just a really unusual event because it's just a massive hunk of cheese lit up.
So we drop carp and we drop cheese. Do we drop anything else?
Well, I should say we have a lot of really wonderful events, too. One of them I would recommend is in La Crosse. It's an organization called the Skyrockers, and they do what's called Skyrockers Fireworks at the Bluff. And if you're familiar with La Crosse, of course, they have Granddad Bluff, which is so beautiful. So they shoot these fireworks off of Granddad Bluff, and it really lights up the Mississippi Valley. And I have a lot of folks tell me that they watch from the bluff or downtown while, fishing along the river. And because the fireworks explode over the river, it gives it that double effect, the mirrored effect. So they do an early show for kids at 6 p.m. So if you don't want to stay up till midnight, you can do that. And then, of course, they do a huge midnight show. So that's kind of just a really beautiful event.
Well, there's no shortage of things to do. Let's talk about, we got New Year's Eve coming up this weekend. There are festivals and there are things going on all over the state to ring in the new year. And no matter how bad a year it's been, we always look ahead to the next and hope for better things. So it's a great time to celebrate. There's a lot of stuff going on in Wisconsin. And I want to put out a call to our listeners. Tell us about what you're doing this winter. What wintertime activities do you do in Wisconsin, and why should someone else start doing them? If you know of a celebration, if there's one in your community, this will be your chance to tell us about it. We have the Secretary of Tourism in the state of Wisconsin, Stephanie Klett, with us this hour to talk about winter tourism in the Badger State. Here's the phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. You can also find us on Facebook. Look for the Kathleen Dunn Show page. Leave a comment there, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Are you planning to kiss the carp? I want to know. And what's that like? John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. We'll be right back. It's the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 20 minutes after 9 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about tourism, winter tourism specifically, in the state of Wisconsin. Plenty of things to do and see in the Badger State in the wintertime. So it's not just, hunker down, make sure you've got enough food to last until spring. Get out and do stuff. No excuse for staying home, unless, of course, the Packers are on TV, in which case it's all right. My guest this hour, Stephanie Klett, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and we have a lot of people who are calling in. Well, Stephanie, let me put you on the spot. What is your favorite winter activity? I know you get around and you do a lot of different stuff, but what's the thing that you like to do in the wintertime more than anything else?
I love when our state parks do the candlelight hikes and cross-country skis. I'm a big hiker, so a lot of times they'll coordinate it with a full moon. And, you know, you've got this full moon out, and they'll do the tiki torches or the luminaries. And I just think it's one of the most spectacular things that you can do in our state. And our state parks, year after year after year, are ranked in the top five in the country. So it's always a way to see great geological formations, something new and beautiful, get exercise. They always have a bonfire and free hot chocolate at these events. And it's a neat way to meet people from all over the state.
Well, let's talk a little bit about our state parks, because they are one of our treasures here in Wisconsin. We have quite a few of them, and a lot of them are open for special events this winter.
They are, and you know, they're in every corner of our state, and we have several state parks that will literally stop you in your tracks. You know, when you see something so beautiful, like the first time you see the Grand Canyon, and you just kind of gasp. I had that experience at Interstate Park. Of course, that's in northwest Wisconsin, St. Croix Falls. It's our oldest state park, over 100 years old. And, of course, they have all the dells, or some people call them the dolls and the dalles. And they have the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway. There's hiking and kayaking and rock climbing and an old paddle boat that will take you out on the water. And it is one of those places where you'll just gasp over the beauty. And another place is in northern Wisconsin, a Big Bay State Park on Madeline Island. You know, that's what love at the top of our state. I'm always amazed that people don't know we have 22 islands, you know, dotting the top of our state. It really is like its own carp crown on top of the state. But Big Bay State Park has this wonderful wooden boardwalk and sandy beaches and rock outcroppings. It's just magnificent. You go a little bit south in Mellon and in Glidden, and you'll find Copper Falls State Park. Again, another one where I would be shocked if you went there the first time and didn't have that moment. You know, Brownstone Falls goes into Copper Falls, and it creates this waterfall. It's magnificent. Patterson State Park, the state's largest waterfall in Superior and Douglas County, 165 feet long. You know, that's another great state park to hike. And so, you know, I could go on and on from Rasha Cree and Adams Friendship, you know, to Sheboygan County. It's just, it doesn't stop.
Well, I used to live just 6 miles from Patterson State Park, so I've been there many times, and a big Manitou is certainly something to see regardless of the season. And I know they have trails there, too, so a lot of people snowshoe and so forth.
Well, you know, John, too, that at that state park they have the Little Manitou Falls, which in the winter freezes over. So you can actually stand on that waterfall and hear it underneath, you know, your feet gurgling. It's really a unique thing to do.
Unique, yes. That's that would be one word to describe it. One of the things that's changed in Wisconsin over the years is the development of trails. And as it was sort of a bad news, good news thing, the bad news is the railroads kind of went away. The good news is we turned those right-of-ways into some pretty cool trails, and they get a lot of use in the summer, but they get a lot more use, I think, in the winter, don't they?
Well, you know, you're bringing up a lot of great things. You know, they get use year-round with the old bike trails, railroad trails. We've converted them into a lot of things, and, you know, for biking, like the Elroy Sparta Trail was the first rails-to-trails conversion, they believe, in the entire country. And many of the trails from the Tuscobia Trail up north to, you know, the trails throughout southern Wisconsin, you can snowmobile or hike in the winter. Also a big thing for our state, and this is a shameless promotion because I am a member, the Ice Age Trail Alliance. You know, they're building 1,000 miles of trails throughout Wisconsin, connecting it all the way to the East Coast. And what these volunteers are doing, I just send a little cash donation every year. These volunteers, I actually got to film them through my previous life with Discover Wisconsin. You know, it was 100 degrees out in the summer. It was humid. There were mosquitoes. And there they were volunteering on a weekend, getting just eaten up, you know, by the mosquitoes. It was wet, it was damp, it was hot, and they're building those trails to connect 1,000 miles. And so that is such an asset for our state as well. It's just going to be huge when it's all done.
All right, let's take a call. We've got Linda from Ripon on the line with us. Linda, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Hello, Linda. Well, Linda was there.
Well, and she's from Ripon, which is where my crazy Aunt Jan is from.
Your crazy Aunt Jan.
Oh, now see, I can tell you about the things to do in Ripon, from, you know, Ripon Good Cookies to, you know, of course, the birthplace of the Republican Party. But my Aunt Jan would be able to tell you about every tavern and pub.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, we have plenty of those across the state of Wisconsin as well, and sometimes
yes,
that's part of the local attraction is visiting them. They call that a pub crawl. 800-486-8655. Call in and tell us what your favorite thing is to do in Wisconsin in the wintertime. 800-486-8655. Talk at WPR.org is the email address. And you can also find the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook and leave a comment there. Tell us what's your favorite thing to do in the state when winter hits, and of course winter is it's on the calendar, but like all tourism, this is climate dependent. It's like farming. You know, if you get good weather, you have a good crop, and if you don't, you're struggling a little bit. So far, we haven't had the amount of snow we normally expect to have by this point in the season. And that's always a concern. You mentioned last June the weather wasn't the greatest, but we made up for it. So these things tend to even out over time.
Yeah, they do. And usually once January hits, you get us mid-January and it gets cold and the snow comes. And when you talk about some of the favorite events in the state, I have a few more. You know, I love the winter hiking in our state parks, but that I really love that I'd like to recommend to folks if they haven't done them. And one is coming up January 19th through the 22nd, and it's the annual World Championship Snowmobile Derby in Eagle River.
Yes.
And I wasn't even a snowmobiler when I first went, probably it was 20 years ago, for the first time. So, you know, I thought, well, I've got to, you know, cover this snowmobile event. I don't really snowmobile. It is exciting. It's the world's premier snowmobile racing event. They have 1,400-plus entries coming in from around the globe. They do the Oval and Snowcross Championship races in front of 30,000 spectators. And they have light shows, and they have, you know, Miss Snowflake is there. And they have, you know, just you'll hear different languages. And this town in Eagle River, you'll see more snowmobiles downtown than cars. And, of course, downtown Eagle River builds every year that ice castle done with over 3,000 blocks of ice. Every year they do a different design. And people come from all over the country to check out the ice castle and have their picture taken on the throne out front. So Eagle River World Championship Snowmobile Derby is something you have to put on your list just one time to do because you'll love it. And one other thing I would recommend if you've never done it is head up to Bayfield and the Apostle Islands for the Apostle Island Sled Dog Race. This year will be their 17th annual race. More than 100 teams come. You know, they have the 8-dog 80-mile race, a 6-dog 60-mile race, and a 40-mile sportsman's race. They even do a 16 and under 8 and 10-mile family race. But these dogs are magnificent, and they're mushing over frozen Lake Superior. And, of course, while you're in that area, do the what you do in the summer is the sea caving with the caves formed by the water and the winds. But in the winter, you can go into these caves, and they have these stalactites and stalagmites, you know, temporarily formed from the frozen snow and winds, and it is a magnificent sight. But that's also, that sled dog race is another really neat event that if you've never done it, you have to put it on your list.
Oh, absolutely. It's a terrific event. Now we've got Linda from Ripon who called back. Her phone dropped. Linda, let's try this again. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Pretty good so far, but the day is young.
Well, one of my favorite things to do is go for sleigh rides.
Oh, yeah.
And I live in the Ripon area, and I'm also president of our a tourist group that's made up of five communities of Princeton, Marquezan, Green Lake, and Ripon and Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And we're celebrating our 20th year. We go to the trade shows and market our area. We're less than a because we're in the center of the state. And our area has lots of different things to do. We have a lot of the silent sports. And snowmobiling right now is not so good. But what's fortunate for my husband and myself is we also have carriages. So if we can't go out for a sleigh ride, we can get you onto a carriage and have the winter wonder without the snow.
You know what, Linda, I wanted to ask you, too, and I think that recommendation is so great because, you know, sleigh rides, take them during the day, take them at night, you know, do a mm-hmm. moonlight ride you can do, you know, gather a sleigh of friends. But I wanted to ask you, did Ripon this year do the Dickens of a Christmas?
Yes, it was the 21st year of Dickens of a Christmas, and we'll continue to do it. And we also have an event in the summertime on the third weekend of June called Ripon Hay Days. It's kind of the summer edition of Dickens of a Christmas. It's a living history from pre-contact with Native Americans to just past the Civil War. And we have lots of history in this area. We've got historic canoeing with a 28-foot-long canoe on the Fox River. And if you're into history, this is a great place, or geology, because the environs as you go from Ripon west to Princeton, you go through the ridge area and the fields to rivers and sand, and it gives you that up north feeling. And you're an hour away from Madison, you're an hour and a half away from Milwaukee, an hour and a quarter away from Green Bay. We're a terrific area.
No, you really are. And, you know, in a sense, it's kind of getting there. Is, you know, there's no main highway in terms of like I-90, 43, but that is what makes getting there so fun. And
yes,
it's one of those areas of the state that when you find it, it's just that magical gem. And I wanted to ask you about Dickens of a Christmas because I went years ago, and my mom went along with me, she went and met her aunt there. And it was a great event because they do like the living window arrangements. So
yes,
you walk by
yes.
different shops and, you know, people are kind of frozen and moving slightly. They had the live music and the hot chocolate and Ripon is also known for just having an assortment of beautiful historic homes.
Yes, yes. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, it was the 21st year, and they block off the downtown. You can actually eat chestnuts that are roasted over an open fire. And it's just, you see people in Victorian garb. It's awesome. It's a real fun event.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad it's going strong.
Yes,
well,
it's
Linda,
going strong. It's going
I'm
strong.
I'm glad you...
And we're... I'm the president of a group called Green Lake Country Visitors Bureau, and you can check out our website at glcountry.com, and it gives a list of everything that's going on in our area. And we're a best kept secret, unfortunately.
Yeah, no,
and
you really are.
That.
And I mean, you know, and Princeton though has that huge in the summer, that huge market every weekend.
The flea market,
of course, Green Lake itself, talk about one of the best lakes in the state of Wisconsin. Holy cow, is that a resource for this state?
Yes, it is. And it's just, the whole area here it's so different. I mean, you can go to the Amish community and pick up one of their pies and then go to Princeton and check out all the little shops. And we've got biking trails, we've got riding trails, we've got hiking trails. It's a great place to come and play at our pace, a little slower. It's not the big fancy water slides and all that. We're a little different, and we like it. It's Ripon in itself is a Norman Rockwell town. You walk down the streets, and it's everybody's hometown. It's a wonderful, wonderful place.
It is. It sure is. And they have a world-class college, too.
Yes, they do. And, of course, the cookies.
Absolutely.
And you talk about Norman Rockwell, looking ahead to summer. If you haven't been at La Pointe for July 4th, you probably should try that because it is a Norman Rockwell painting. Linda, thanks for calling back. I appreciate it. And let's move on and go to Milwaukee and hear from Happy New Year. Hear from Terry. Terry, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
You know, I would really love to hear you talk a little bit about the cultural offerings in our state.
Sure.
We just have such a rich cultural community here, not only in Milwaukee, but all over the state. And I know that the Wisconsin Arts Board has now been merged and is a part of the Department of Tourism. So I think it would be really interesting for the listeners to hear what cultural offerings there are in the wintertime.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? That's an entire show on itself. Because, in fact, I want to touch on two aspects of it. First, in the winter, in fact, our new commercial spot merges winter activities, and I'm referring to the commercial spot we just shot with David Zucker. David Zucker, of course, produced and wrote the Airplane movie and Naked Gun and Ruthless People and Scary Movie installments. So we merged the arts with outdoor fun. Because in the winter, it seems like there's two kinds of people. And there's folks that the arts really thrive in winter in Wisconsin. You know, we have the great plays, the musicals, the singing events, and we have a lot of indoor crafts fairs, arts fairs. And so, you know, there's that audience. And then there's the audience that says, hey, man, we're cool. We're going to snowmobile. I'm going to Granite Peak Ski Area in Wausau. I'm going to snowboard. I'm going to snow tube. So our commercial actually merges the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra playing, and pandemonium ensues with some snow activities, I should say. But also when we talk about cultural Wisconsin, I think of, and in terms of culture, our Native American culture that really the mainstream Wisconsinite doesn't tap into at all. We have 11 sovereign nations in Wisconsin. That's more than any other state in the United States minus one. And you talk about a different kind of culture to tap into. I'm working with the Wisconsin Arts Board right now. Lac du Flambeau has a really neat arts community. So we're bringing in George Sue Gross and the gang from the Wisconsin Arts Board to see what they can't merge with some of their resources. It's really neat. Lac du Flambeau also has a fish hatchery. They have a wild rice festival. They do their weekly powwows. Lac du Flambeau, Le Couderay has the largest powwow, you know, in the United States. 10,000 people are coming to that. The arts and the tribal communities, I don't think anybody does it better than the Oneida Nation. The Oneida Nation is huge into really preserving their cultural history through the arts. And so they have a beautiful museum that people can go through with arts from over the centuries on display. So, you know, those are just some of the things. Right now, you know, it was pretty big news when the Wisconsin Arts Board got their budget cut. And I'm a huge arts advocate, Terry. My background is very full in the arts. I collect Wisconsin artists and international artists and all different kinds of mediums. So I said to George Sue Gross, who's the executive director, if you don't win this fight, I promise you we'll give you the best home that we possibly can. And when that did happen and they merged with us, we wanted to start saving every penny we could for them so it could go back to them. So we said, okay, you're going to get out of your building right now. We can save you $50,000-$60,000 a year. If you come with us in the same building, you'll be rent-free. We have a GEM grant program, and it's called Joint Effort Marketing. That's what GEM stands for. And over, I'd say, nearly half, and this is in tourism, that of our grants that go out are arts-related. So for National Arts and Humanities Month, we had our grant coordinator go out with the Wisconsin Arts Board to make sure the artists, especially artists that were losing, you know, some much-needed funding, would have this opportunity to tap into. So the Wisconsin Arts Board is now part of tourism, but we know how special they are and how different and unique they are from us, but we have the same goal, to make the quality of life better in Wisconsin. So the merging that could have been very painful is actually going very, very well.
When we come back, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we have some more callers, but I'd like to hear you talk a little more about cultural tourism, because there's certainly a lot of it. There's also agricultural tourism.
Sure.
There are all kinds of different things, and maybe relate that to what goes on in the wintertime here in the state. Talking about winter tourism in Wisconsin. And a line open for you. Well, I take that back. If you get a busy signal, send us an email, talk@WPR.org, or leave a message on Facebook. Look for the Kathleen Dunn Show page. I'm John Munson, in for Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson, in for Kathleen Dunn. Today, Kathleen will be back next week. My guest this hour is the Secretary of Tourism for the state of Wisconsin, Stephanie Klett. We've been talking about winter tourism. Our last caller brought up all the cultural events that happen in Wisconsin, and you mentioned some of them, and you specifically talked about some Native American cultural events. There really has been a growth in cultural tourism, or tourism specifically aimed at people who are interested in the arts, in the last, say, decade or so. This is a real opportunity for Wisconsin, I would think, because we've got so many great cultural attractions.
We do, and I want to expand the definition of cultural tourism. A lot of times you think cultural, you immediately just go think of arts, and you think of museums and theaters. And cultural tourism is the subset of tourism really concerned with the region's culture, the lifestyle of the people in certain geographical areas, the history, their art, their architecture, their religion, and other elements that really helped shape their life. So cultural tourism is a really big subset. And so I think right away, okay, so religion's one of them. Well, Wisconsin has an amazing culture of religion. Here in Wisconsin, when people talk about their number one charity, it's their church. For over 90% of people, it's their church. So that's interesting. Well, Wisconsin honors that cultural history with things like in New Diggings, you'll find the oldest wood church still standing. And it's kind of funny because New Diggings is a big Harley town. So at the bottom of this street that goes up a hill, at the bottom of the street you'll find a general store and a tavern. And then at the top you'll find this wood church. Well, this wood church was founded by Father Samuel Mazzucchelli. If that name rings a bell, it should, but it's one of those stories a lot of people don't know about. He came from an extremely wealthy family in the 1800s from Florence, Italy. And back then, they were a merchant and banking family. He wanted to become a pastor, a priest, and so you had to publicly renounce your family's fortune. I mean, and this is a family that all these years later still has millions of dollars. So he was renouncing it publicly, and they sent him to Michigan, where he made his way down to southwest Wisconsin. So you'll see this church, but nearby you'll also find a place called Sinsinawa. And when I think of cultural tourism in terms of religion, I think of Sinsinawa. It's a huge Catholic church, but they also have, it's open to the public. They have an indoor labyrinth and an outdoor labyrinth that anyone can walk, and you can walk the grounds. You can also go on special retreats where they give you a very primitive room, no phones. A lot of people use it to really kind of just detox from the stresses of life and to write. It is a blast from the past. Not too far from there, you'll find the Dickeyville Grotto, which is this historic, religious, and patriotic cultural nod. It's an art form with how the artist put this grotto together with marbles and broken glass and materials from around the world. So we have all different types of cultural tourism in Wisconsin, and that's another one that would be a great subject for an hour.
I'm writing all this stuff down, and I'm hoping our producers do, too. We're going to go back to the phones because we have a ton of people who want to reach us, who want to talk about their particular area. Let's start in Hixton. Brian has been patiently waiting. Brian, thanks for holding.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. I'm a volunteer ski instructor at Bruce Mound, Clark County's Bruce Mound, which is about 17 miles north or south of Neillsville, or about 20 miles northeast of Black River Falls.
Sure, I was just in Neillsville at the High Ground.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
We have a kind of a unknown county run ski hill there, but, we've been making snow, so we've made 30, 40 inches of snow, and we're all excited because this is our big week to get out and give lessons and enjoy the hill and the view. But on Saturday, we have a area Queens race where all the local royalty from all the festivals will race each other down the tube hill, and then we finish that off with fireworks at about 5:15.
That sounds great. And you are one of the more hidden ski areas in the state.
Yeah, we're really only 15, 20 minutes off the interstate, but, the county budgets don't allow for much advertising, so we're just being discovered. We've had $1.2 million worth of improvements over the last 4 years, including a new chairlift and a just a beautiful, beautiful chalet. And we had about 400 volunteer hours this fall working on a couple of new ski runs. So we're expanding. We're excited about the opportunities, but it's a great little hill, and we sure have fun.
Now, how many ski runs do you have?
Oh, about 7 or 8, and
okay.
We're adding 3 more.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's not a big hill, but then our prices reflect that, too. You can get a lift ticket for a student for under $20, so and tube all day for $10. So we have lots of families come out, spend the whole weekend, or Friday nights are big for bringing the kids out, and, you know, it's a safe enough spot where people drop their kids off and come back and get them at 10 o'clock.
Excellent, excellent. And I want to add that at TravelWisconsin.com, which is a great resource, we have, you'll see right when you go to our website, the great outdoors with downhill skiing, because what is it, about 40 downhill ski areas we have in the state? It's a number that will surprise you. And so
wow.
You can learn about the different ski hills across Wisconsin.
Excellent. Brian, thanks for the call. Well, we've got to move on because we've got a full phone bank here. A lot of people want to get in. We'll go to Tomahawk next and talk to Lori. Lori, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Lori.
Great.
We got about 2.5, 3 inches of fresh snow up here, and I heard Oneida
Yay.
County is going to open their snowmobile trails tomorrow, so you might call up about that.
But oh, good.
I'm calling because one thing I think the tourism people kind of forget about, because it happens automatically and it's more the province of the DNR, is the hunting that goes on all winter in Wisconsin. And there's small game hunting and also predator hunting. And, you know, hunting is done just about every day of the year in the winter. And hunters, their fees go to support some of the wildlife biologists with the DNR, so they're actually paying for wildlife management. And also helping to control the burgeoning predator population.
You bring up an awesome point. In fact, probably my second month on the job, I called up Kathy Stepp, who's the secretary of the Department of Natural Resources, and said, we with tourism need to have a better relationship. And so we've really been working with her not only on hunting but on fishing. And it's everything from the simple things, like aquatic invasive species or land invasive species. That's not just a DNR issue. That's a tourism issue. It affects our forests. It affects our lands. But same with hunting, because when hunters come from, whether they're coming from within the state to a different part of the state or out of state, they are doing exactly what John and I were talking about earlier. They're hunting in the area. They're staying at a local cottage or hotel, motel. They're fueling up. They're going out for meals, or they're going to grocery stores, so it has a huge economic impact. So although it's regulated by the DNR, we're really working with them on different things we can do to promote hunting through our marketing efforts.
That's great to hear. For the health advocates, too, getting outside and getting the whole family outside, becoming proficient in outdoor skills, all those are so important to enjoying Wisconsin's outdoors.
It is. It really is. And I like how you say, get people outdoors, enjoying it. And these are the people that are also really stewards of the land. They're not there to go tear it up. They're not out there to shoot every animal that they see. They have a great respect for our state and the history of the area, hunting, you know, and it's really a win-win.
I agree with you.
Yeah, thank you. That was an excellent point.
Well, Lori, thanks for that call. I would be remiss in my duties as a talk show host if I did not bring up mittens.
You want to talk about Mittengate, do you?
Yeah, I have to. I'm sorry. I just and my producers would kill me if I didn't. So
I got to tell you, Mittengate was the greatest thing ever to happen to the Department of Tourism. And so for folks listening who might not have heard about this, it generated 1,200 news clippings just online in 2 days. The Department of Tourism ended up in the Washington Post and the Huffington Post and on National Public Radio. And, I mean, it was crazy. Here's what happened. At TravelWisconsin.com, you'll always see the state of Wisconsin on there. And it's part of our Travel Wisconsin logo. So every season we do something fun to the state. So when it's summer, we put little sunglasses over, you know, the state of Wisconsin. When it's fall, we put leaves all over it. So for winter, we had a graphic artist put a mitten over it. Well, it wasn't on 5 minutes, and Michigan went crazy because they are the mitten state. Well, it ended up being good-natured fun for 98% of it. And I ended up going on some Detroit radio drive time shows, and there was some trash talk between the two states. I'm not going to deny it. And I did demand that they give us the UP. It's connected to our state. They don't really want it anyway. And rename Lake Michigan to Lake Wisconsin. But it really did take off. And it was so because we touched a nerve, we had to have fun with it. So then we took that mitten, winter mitten over our state, and right away the Packers were 12-0 at this time. We made the mitten green and gold and put 12-0 under it. And for the Rose Bowl, we'll have the mitten with the rose coming through the thorn or through the thumb of Door County. However, because we have to always be positive for our state, we ended Mitten Gate with two mittens, a logo down with two mittens attached to each other as friends, but we're both doing mitten campaigns. And at all of our welcome centers throughout Wisconsin, and they're doing this in many places in Michigan as well, we're collecting mittens, and we'll give them to different charitable organizations to help out for the winter.
Well, that's terrific. And by the way, the UP was supposed to be part of Wisconsin, and that's another show in itself.
It is. And it's all because of Toledo.
Yeah, there you go. Who knew? Let's take another call here quickly before we run out of time. Amanda in Cedarburg is with us. Amanda, go ahead.
Hi there. I love the show, by the way. It's so interesting.
Oh, thank you.
I have to say, first of all, that I'm so blessed to have landed in Cedarburg. My husband and I, neither of us are from there, and we love Cedarburg's festival so much, especially the winter festival.
It's gorgeous.
It is. I love it so much. And we actually live right downtown, so we're lucky to be right there in the mix of everything. The reason I was calling, though, is because in college, I was crazy enough to participate in polar bears. But I participated in the ones that are sponsored and put on by organizations that fundraise for the Special Olympics.
Sure.
So I did the Whitewater fundraiser 2 years in a row and did the polar plunge there. And it was so much fun, and it was really enjoying the winter and getting to do something really crazy, but do it for a good cause. So.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. There are polar bear plunges all over the state of Wisconsin raising money for whether it's Special Olympics, some raise money for cancer, some raise money for local areas. If you go to travelwisconsin.com, you can actually get a free Travel Wisconsin events guide, and it lists a lot of the polar plunges that happen. And they don't just all happen on January 1st. They happen throughout January and February. And so you can learn about those, and we'll send you the guide free of charge.
Thank you,
Amanda,
so much.
Amanda, thanks so much for the call. You mentioned travelwisconsin.com. That is the main website of the Department of Tourism. I want to just recommend a link on that site. If you click on, I think it's Unique to Wisconsin, you can find out about some of these things that we've been talking about, like the carp drop. There's one that we didn't mention this yet, but there's the famous bar stool races.
Oh, yeah, yep. And exactly, up north, and Earl's Jalopy Ride, and there's a lot of crazy stuff.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, if there's something nutty, we'll do it here in Wisconsin. I don't know if it's something in the water or the amount of brandy we consume or what it is, but if there's something crazy, we will try it here in Wisconsin, and we'll make a festival out of it, and people will make money doing it. That's one of the great things about living here is that it's never boring. To live in Wisconsin.
Well, you know, and your last caller, when she talked about Cedarburg, you know, as we talk about the weird and wacky, Cedarburg is really so classy and so charming, and they're very big into the arts. They have a ton. They were voted number one for best small town shopping in 2008. They have these great specialty shops and boutiques and galleries, and of course they have a winery in the heart of the downtown. They have winter festivals, great spring and summer festivals, fall festivals. In fact, in Cedarburg in the fall, they do their big wine harvest festival, and it's the only time of my life they do a grape seed spitting competition that someone uttered the phrase to me, "Girl, you spit a mean seed." And so it's a charming, classy place, but they also have some hidden treasures like Amy's Candies, which, you know, USA Today voted as the best, like, caramel apple in the United States. So there are all these great finds. Of course, they have the Cedar River going through town. So town after town, county after county, you just can't not find the gems in our state.
Well, and there are certainly plenty of resources to help you research your trip to Wisconsin. TravelWisconsin.com, of course, would be the one you would recommend, I'm sure. But and there are links there. If you want to know something about what's going on in the state that you might find entertaining, there's no excuse for not being able to find it, because that information is out there like never before.
Well, and if you go to our website, what we'll do is we don't just have the guide I told you about, the Travel Wisconsin Events Guide. We'll send you out the Wisconsin Bed and Breakfast Directory or Native Wisconsin, so you have a full-color guide showcasing, you know, the history of Wisconsin's Native Americans. We have a Wisconsin Arts and Crafts Fairs Directory, a campground directory, a State Parks Visitors Guide, Wisconsin Birding Guide Series. In fact, in January and February, we have a lot of Bald Eagle Watching Days events throughout the state, from Cassville to Prairie du Sac. We've got a biking guide for you, an ATV guide, an activity guide. So it's a great resource, and like I said, we'll send it out to you free.
Okay, and we're up against a hard post here, as we say in the radio business, so we'll have to leave it there. I appreciate your time this morning.
Happy New Year, John. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, and Happy New Year to you as well. Stephanie Klatt, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, Wisconsin, where you can attend an outhouse race. I'll tell you what, we got it going on here in the Badger State. Chrissy Pease produced this program. Chrissy Pease and Rhonda Fanning handled on-air production. I'm John Munson, in for Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.